Let's just go to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your presence. It's here with us this morning. Lord, for the worship, Lord, of the people and your acceptance of their worship, Father. Lord, we now approach this point of the service, Lord, to reading of the word. We ask, God, that you would anoint us, Father, Lord, to bring a word that would be a help and strength and guidance to the people, Lord. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. I want to read from Psalms 46, verse 1 and 2. I'm going to be continuing on with, He is my refuge, Brother Todd. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear. Amen. You may be seated. We had, while we had covered about Job and the things that Job went through and about how Job looked for a refuge, he looked for, Brother Branham said, he looked for words of comfort. He looked for words of comfort from his friends. And of course, he couldn't find any words of comfort from his friends. But what he found words of comfort from was from a revelation that God brought to him. And I got to thinking on that about comfort. And there's many different things that we look at for comfort. And, you know, if you would think this morning, wonder, what is your comfort? What are your things that you, just in this natural life, that you think of for comfort? There's some, I'll give you some examples. There's some that find comfort in things that remind them of their youth. There are some that will find comfort in things that remind them, perhaps, of their childhood. And the reason this would be is because when they were children, it was mom and dad was their refuge. Mom and dad was protecting them. They didn't have to worry about a lot of the things they have to worry about when they become adults. You know, children, why, they really don't got to worry in the world. As far as, you know, children don't know nothing about the light bill needing paid or, you know, about the heat. You know, bill needing paid or any of these things. You know, many times you find when teenagers are looking to grow up, it's one of the things that they need to start learning and think about is, hey, when I move out, I got to do all these things. When you're at home with mom and dad, and so sometimes you find comfort. Well, I'll give you some more examples. People are used to perhaps a wood-burning fireplace. And whenever they would smell wood smoke, it would bring like a comfort sort of like to them. It's kind of unexplainable. But it's something maybe that they remember from growing up that would make them, you know, it made them feel warm in the wintertime. Some that grew up with forced air heat. And, you know, when the forced air heat kicks on for the very first time of the year, that lint and stuff that's collected in there burns. And you can smell that lint burning. And some people, it triggers something in their minds because they remember this from a childhood and something like certain foods, this aroma of certain foods. Would bring a comfort because they were used to smelling this at grandma's house or something, you know, and so it would kind of trigger that in their mind, they would kind of reminisce about those things, and it would kind of get their mind off of maybe what the things that were going on around them, and they would just kind of wander back down memory lane and think on those things and kind of get their mind back that way. Some people find have certain foods that are comfort to them. Some people, maybe it's ice cream, makes them feel good. Maybe that's something from the childhood. I can remember growing up, we used to make homemade ice cream. And, you know, you had one that you had to churn by hand. Then we moved on up and got an electric one. And it would churn it for you, you know. And I can remember making homemade ice cream. And if y'all ain't never had homemade ice cream, you don't know what you're missing. Now, I ain't talking about something you make out of snow. I'm talking about something real ice cream. And we would go out and buy one of those big block Hershey bars. And we'd break that up into pieces and mix that up in that ice cream. And homemade ice cream, you know. But some people, they find comfort in things like that, or a certain food that they remember from growing up. And so whenever they kind of feeling kind of like they need some comfort, sometimes they'll, you know, under stress or something really bothering, and maybe they'll go and they'll get this food they remember from their childhood, and they'll eat it and it makes them feel good. And, clothes. People have clothes they like to wear. Sometimes you have an outfit that you just feel real good and comfortable in, you know, or an outfit you feel real confident in. And it kind of boosts your confidence. And like if you're going for a job interview or something like that, why, you think, well, I'm going to wear my power clothes. And, there's different things there, but there's other things that people find comfort in that are not so good. Seems some people find comfort in being sick. You ask them sometimes, how you doing? And you wish you hadn't asked. Because they begin to tell you about all the sickness they got and everything that's ailing them. And if there's something they read about, all of a sudden they got it. You know, and you never hear them testify about healing. You always hear them testify about all the sickness they got and how it prevents them from this or that or the other. And I know we have illnesses. I know we have sicknesses. But I don't take comfort in that. I don't take comfort in being sick. When I'm sick, I take comfort in a good, warm broth with some real spices and things in it that can kind of help you feel better, you know. Breathe over that, open up your sinuses or whatever, and that, you know. But I don't feel comfort in being sick. But have you ever known anybody like that? Seems like they feel comfort in being sick. Or some people who feel comfort in being grumpy all the time. They, you know, if they ain't grumpy, they ain't happy. You understand what I'm saying? If things ain't going bad, they're not happy. They find comfort in it. Some people find comfort in complaining about everything. It makes me think of Brother Jewel Forney when he would use that phrase, wowsy, wowsy, woo, you know. Some people find comfort in all the things that they can't do. Well, I can't do that. Well, I can't do that. You know, you wonder, is there anything they can do? There's some people who find comfort in being angry, believe it or not. You know, as the old saying, like I've said several times already, if they ain't angry, they ain't happy. There's some people who find comfort in making other people upset. And if they ain't making other people upset, they ain't happy. There's some people that find comfort in being miserable. and they want everybody around them to be miserable too. And they ain't satisfied until they make somebody else miserable. What a thing to find comfort in. I'll tell you, if you find comfort in those things, something has went wrong somewhere in your past. And many times it springs back from something in your childhood, just like the other things that we were talking about that you find comfort from. That's what they knew growing up. And so, you know, what we knew was fighting. So a feel-good fighting. And they got to find somebody to fight with, something to fuss over. You know, and when it, you have these negative things that people find their natural comforts in, you realize it's not really a comfort at all. Because something that really is a comfort is something that'll ease your pain. Something that'll make you actually feel good. Something that'll give you joy. Something that'll raise you up when you're down. Something that'll make you feel protected when you seem to be in situations where you seem so vulnerable. So these negative things, if we have those, we need to find a way to cut them things off. We need to find a way to say, you know what? I'm not going to find my comfort in those things anymore. Because they're lying vanities is what they are. They're not comfort at all. They don't bring you joy. They don't make you feel better. They don't lift you up. They put you down. They don't make you happy. They make you depressed. You get so bad you can't even get along with yourself. Brother Branham said, remember, your comfort is your religion. Now that just takes everything that I said and puts it in a whole new light. In other words, some people worship that. Think about it. He says, your comfort is your religion. He didn't say your religion is your comfort. He's saying your comfort, it becomes people's religion. In other words, they worship in being sick instead of worshiping God in being healed. They worship in being sad. They worship in being angry. They worship being miserable. So how do they worship it? Because that's all they want to dwell on is their misery. We all go through miserable times. We all, Brother Branham said, find ourselves on the ash heap. We all have our ups and downs, but we don't want to take joy in those things. We don't want to look at those things like, well, if I don't have that, I don't got nothing. Or they're saying, if I didn't have bad luck, I wouldn't have no luck at all. You remember your comfort is your religion. Now listen to what he says here. This isn't he cares, do you care? Satan is very subtle. He does it so easy. Just a little teeny bit here and a little teeny bit there. He's got plenty of time. So he runs a little bit in here and then he runs a little bit in there. And then the first thing you know, people are gradually moved into it. And then Brother Branham goes on to talk about how he said this, the message he preached was in 1963. And he was saying the way that women dress and walk down the streets in 1963. And then he was saying the way they used to dress back in the times before that. He said it would have been against the law Back when I was a boy of 16, if a woman would have walked down the street the way she does today, he said, they'd have put her in jail. If it's wrong then it's wrong now. But you see, Satan began to cut off the skirts and lower them down. And it'll come to pass, somebody will design one a little beyond the bikini, or what you call the thing, to a fig leaf. You remember? That's right. It's right straight back. It's there practically now. Well, now they got see-through clothes. Why put on any clothes at all? And they've stopped wearing, women have stopped wearing their undergarments and wearing see-through clothing. They got a whole new thing now called free the nipple. Excuse me if that offends you in church. But they got a whole new thing now. And what it means is women should go around that way. They should be able to. Say, well, men can, women too. And what it is, Satan has moved it gradually over time until it's come to what it is today. And Satan will move you gradually over time with things until you become the grumpy person that you are today. And what you need to do is put the brakes on old Satan. Realize that it's him. It's Satan making you angry. It's Satan making you grumpy. It's Satan making you sad. It's Satan making you sick. God makes you happy. God makes you well. Hallelujah. And when you realize that it's the devil and what he's doing, then you can beat the devil at his own game. And that's what we want to do, isn't it? Because I'll tell you something, friends, there ain't going to be no grumpy people in heaven. There ain't going to be no fussing and fighting in heaven. The only fighting that the Bible talks about that we're going to do is when we come riding down out of glory. The battle of Armageddon. And that one's already won. The only fighting we're going to do right now is the spiritual warfare against the devil. Pardon me. A little further down in the message he cares to you, he says, now we find out the people won't take God's way about it. God has a way provided for your comfort. God has a way provided for all these things, but people don't want it. People go after other things. And every time it's some other way besides God's way. Now God, he said's got a way for your comfort. And I got to thinking about in the scripture when Lazarus had died and Martha and Mary needed some comfort. And the Bible said that when they heard that Jesus was coming, that Martha went out with many of the others to go meet Jesus. But Mary stayed busy in the house. I think it'd have been better if Mary would have just put aside them household things and got on her knees to meet Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? You know, hey, it's good to keep a clean house, but sometimes you need to get on your knees. And I don't mean to clean, I mean to pray. The phone can wait. Put the phone on silent. Get off and pray. Have some communion with the Lord. Hallelujah. But Martha went out to meet Jesus. Martha said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. And said, but now I know that even now, whatsoever you ask God, he'll give it to you. He said, your brother will rise. She said, yes, Lord, I know in the resurrection, my brother will come up. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Hallelujah. I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? What comfort did Jesus have for Martha? It was his word. It was what he had to say. I am the resurrection. And then he comforted him by bringing Lazarus back to life. And that was all so that they could testify and witness that Jesus was the resurrection. Hallelujah. You remember when Paul, before he was called Paul, they knew him as Saul of Tarsus. And, you know, he was going around persecuting the church. And so they were all afraid of him. And when he was converted, he came then to meet them in Jerusalem, and they were afraid. They thought it was a trick, that it was a trap. They didn't believe he had been converted. But the Bible said once they accepted Paul and accepted that he had been converted, it said then the church's rest throughout all of Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, walking in the fear of God and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. So what can be your comfort? The Holy Ghost. Jesus even called him the Comforter. What can be your comfort? The Holy Ghost. Not something out here somewhere, but something you got in here. But see, so many times we get to where we get more in touch with this world, with our five senses. And we get more in touch with this world through our flesh. And we get more in touch with this world through our spirit, through our emotions and our feelings. When what we should be doing is getting in touch with the Holy Ghost that's living on the inside. That's where you'll find your comfort at. That's where you'll find refuge. By his stripes, I am healed. That's what they should be saying rather than talking about, oh, just how sick I am. Y'all know what I'm talking about. They got a word they call it hypochondriacs. If it's out there, they got it. Some of them have books, now they got Google. They used to have medical books. And if they could read about it, they had it. All of a sudden, they were feeling those symptoms. If you ain't ever ran into somebody like that, you're going to have to take my word for it. They do exist. Paul says in Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So what he's talking about is these scriptures that were wrote, the Psalms, the Proverbs, things that were wrote in different places in the Bible, all throughout the Bible. These things that we look at, well, they were things of David's time, or they were things of Samuel's time, or they were things of Moses' time. Those things were written for us. The Bible is, the Word of God is eternal. We are fortunate to have the Word of God in written form. Think about before Moses began to write those things. What did they have? Before Job began to write, what did they have? The Bible tells us men of old were moved on by the Holy Spirit to write these things. And they're written for our learning, Paul says. Why? So we can get comfort from the Scripture. Many times people say, well, what could have been wrote back in that time that could bring me comfort through what I'm going through right now? Oh, there's nothing new under the sun, the Bible says. If you're going through something, somebody else has already been there. Somebody else has already been through it. You know, technology aside, they've already been through it. Second Corinthians 1, 3 and 4 says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. He's the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation. It don't matter what tribulation you're going through, this scripture applies to you. It doesn't matter what you're facing, whether it's financial, whether it's mental, whether it's some type of oppression, this fits you. He comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. So you can pass that on. By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 2, 16 and 17, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts. Comfort your hearts. Brother Branham says this in the message of the Comforter. In time of strain, in time of perplexity, in time of distress, in time of perilous time, they found comfort in keeping the word. The word is God's comfort. His word is your comfort. His word is your refuge. Hallelujah. You can say, God said so. That's the comfort we get. That's where I can find comfort now. That's where you can find your comfort, is God said so. Hallelujah. Now the Bible tells us in Psalms, David tells us, he comforted himself with the word. my. So you mean I can pick up the Bible? You don't have to pick up the Bible. There's many scriptures that you know all the years you've been under preaching. And I guess all the years you've been reading your Bible, there's many scriptures you know and can just spout off. When you're sick, the one I said just a minute ago, by his stripes I'm healed. I am the Lord thy God that healeth all thy diseases. Hallelujah. You got cancer? He's the God that can heal you. Amen. He didn't just do it back in Brother Branham's time. I've saw and have testimonies of people that God has healed of cancer even now. Hallelujah. Let me read you a scripture. You maybe turn to it with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're all familiar with this, but let's just read it together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. It says, "But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord." Now look at verse 18. "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Hallelujah. So you can comfort yourself with the word of God. Hallelujah. So when you get distressed, you don't have to eat pancakes. You can read the word of God. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 7, 4, Paul says, "Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorifying of you. I am filled with comfort." I am filled with comfort. Have you ever been around those people that seem like no matter what is going on, they seem to be still up on cloud nine? And you wonder, how in the world can they do that? It's the God in them. You've got, like I was trying to say earlier, you've got to get in touch with that. He's in you too. But instead of being so in touch with the world around you, like Peter when he was walking on the water, everything was fine as long as he had his eyes on Jesus. But when he got his eyes off Jesus and began to look around at the world, he began to look around at the circumstances. He began to look around and say, "Now, hold on, I'm doing something that you can't do. I'm doing something that is impossible to do." And he began to sink. What did Jesus say to him? "Oh, ye of little faith." What a rebuke. Now, I'll tell you something. It's easy when you're not the one going through something. You can hear about somebody else going through something. Maybe their wife being afflicted with something. Then all of a sudden you get a report from your wife's doctor, something about her, and all of a sudden you feel a whole lot different. Because now it's hit home. Now it's not somebody else's wife. Well, poor them. No, now it's yours. You know, sometimes, I say sometimes, it seems like all the time, for those of you that's married, why, you can take something on yourself, but better than you can it being on your spouse. You can take sometimes, you know, being sick and you can, you know, but boy, it just really hurts you when your spouse all of a sudden is they're the ones that are sick. They're the ones in the hospital. I am filled with comfort. That's somebody that's got in touch with the Holy Ghost that's on the inside of them. There's dropped off communication with this world. I don't care what I'm feeling like. He never asked me how I felt. He asked me, did I believe? Only believe. All things are possible to them that believe. That's the scripture you can take comfort in. Hallelujah. I am exceedingly joyful in all tribulation, Paul said. My. Going through tribulation and being filled with joy. Oh my goodness. How can you do that? Because you know it ain't in your hands anyway. It ain't up to you to lift yourself up. It ain't up to you to work it out. It's up to Him. And He said that He would take care of us. And He said that if He took care of the birds and He took care of the flowers, how much more would He take care of those that belong to Him? Hallelujah. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. What is the faith? The word of God. Resist him by the word. Of all the things that Jesus could have done when Satan come to tempt him, he didn't call for heaven's angels to come down and assist him. He didn't call on any mighty power. He used the word. Used the word to combat the enemy. See, the enemy, y'all just excuse me a minute. The enemy comes and gets in, as we've mentioned so many times before, those gates of the spirit. And he begins to work in those gates to try to upset you, get you to reason about something. You know, the doctor tells you a diagnosis, and the next thing you know, you go to reason about that. Instead of looking at it and saying, look, I'll do what the doctor says. If the doctor's giving me medication, I'll take the medication for now. And I'm going to do what he says. But I'm going to believe God has healed me. My dad was diagnosed years and years and years ago with diabetes. And he always told the doctor, you know, he didn't want to take her medicine first. Then he started taking her medicine. But he always told the doctor, one of these days, he said, you're going to start taking me off this medicine because God has healed me. And I want you to know this. As time went on, the doctor began to lessen the medication. And he didn't die of anything related to diabetes. Of course, you know when it's your time to go, something's got to take you out of this world. But he always testified he was healed of diabetes. Now, I'm not talking about a hope-so. I'm not talking about mind over matter. Where you say, well, I'll just keep telling myself this, and then it'll, that's not the same as faith. Or some people think that taking medicine means you ain't got no faith. Brother Branham never said that. Brother Branham actually used the analogy of taking the medicine that the doctor would give somebody. He used his analogy of taking the medicine that God would give you. An inoculation, he called it. And the inoculation he talked about was an inoculation of God's word. Hallelujah. He said, if you'll take that inoculation, like the scripture says, if the same spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken your mortal body. Now, I don't have to wait for a body change to have this mortal body quickened. I can have this mortal body quickened from sickness. I can have this mortal body quickened from illnesses, from diseases. I can have this mortal body quickened. Friends, listen. I have prayed for people who they put on medication for depression, and they was able to go off the medication and go on their way and be fine. God can heal. God has his way. But you got to realize you can't force it. That's not faith. Faith is moving as God moves you. You can say to this mountain, be thou removed. Hallelujah. And it's got to move. We've faced many mountains in our lives. We have faced many heartaches and tribulations. But God's made a way through it for you. I like that song, He'll Take You Through the Fire Again. Hallelujah. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He took them through the fire. He'll walk through the fire again for you. Hallelujah. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions which are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So you're not the only one being afflicted. So don't get, oh me, oh my, oh poor me. Some people take comfort in sympathy from others. Instead of taking correction from the word, they try to go find somebody that'll tell them something different. Find somebody that'll agree with them. Instead of taking correction of the word. Find somebody to tell them, well, you know, I believe your pastor was wrong. I don't believe you should have ever done this or that. I don't believe you ever should have married that person. I believe you should have married this other person over here. You don't need that as comfort. That, friends, is a fantasy. That's not real. Take the correction of the word. Take the word as your comfort. You know what? I always heard my dad preach when he said that Satan is as a roaring lion. My dad would always say, it didn't say he was a roaring lion. It said he as a roaring lion. Because he ain't got no teeth. His teeth were pulled at Calvary. Death sank its teeth into Jesus and he pulled them out. So he might be as a roaring lion, but his bark's worse than his bite. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. When Satan comes up with some kind of big old front in front of you, a big old bluff is what it is. You can just quote the word, greater is he that's in me than you, devil. You ain't got nothing on me. Look, friends, this brings it down to home. This isn't just saying God's greater. Everybody knows God's greater. But this is bringing it down to you. Greater is he that's in me. He's in you. The greater one is in you. You don't got to go hunting, searching, and to find him. He's there. He said, knock and the door shall be opened. Seek and ye shall find. Ask and ye shall receive. That's comfort in the word. Hallelujah. The joy, this is in Nehemiah. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I am exceedingly joyful in all tribulation. Why? Because you know that Christ, as he suffered, the Bible tells us he saved some of that suffering for us, that we should suffer for his namesake. We're going through suffering now, friends, because we're in a world that has a God that's not God. He's the God, Brother Branham said, of this evil age. We're living in an evil age, an evil time. I was going through my calendar this morning when I sat down. I was just kind of going through and looking at different birthdays and different things. I keep them all on my calendar so it helps me remember. And so I'm just going through my calendar. I'm looking at things going into next year. And I'm leafing through 2023 month by month, and I'm leafing through it. And in my Google Calendar, it has things like, you know, the first day of spring, the first day of Asian American heritage, the first day of LGBT,
what in the world's that doing in my calendar? It's an evil age we're living in. I was reading in the news about a teacher in Nashville. And this teacher was having to go through her books that she kept in her classroom. And she was having to submit a list of the books she had to get them approved whether she could have them or not. And there was books that they were telling her, you can't have those books for children. It wasn't because they were saying they were inappropriate, but it wasn't really because they were inappropriate. It was because they weren't PC anymore. Book banning. Books that maybe you might have grown up with. Now all of a sudden they're banned. Little books about, like, for instance, Tom Sawyer. It's banned now. But books about two mommies or two daddies, those are going into the schools now. They're forcing their way of life. It's no longer, well, you know what, I don't agree with that, but as long as they keep it to themselves, they ain't keeping it to themselves no more. They're trying to force it on you and everybody else in the world. We ought to know it would come to that. That's what it came to in Sodom. They come near to breaking down Lot's door. Lot had to actually squeeze himself out to talk to them so they wouldn't break the door down. And Lot offered him his daughters. And here's the strange thing. Lot's daughters were married, but Lot said they had never been with a man. You know why? They were married to homosexuals. And Lot offered his daughters, and you know what? They didn't want them. They wanted those two men they saw go into Lot's house. Whew. Boy, I know this ain't what they want to hear nowadays. But see how that spirit got to where it was forcing itself on people. That's the way it's got today. Sodom all over again. Hallelujah. So we're facing things in this evil age. But there's coming an age. Hallelujah. There's coming an age of a rapture. There is coming an age of a millennium to where Satan, that god of this evil age, will be bound for 1,000 years. Why? Because your flesh is going to be changed. Because your spirit is going to be changed. Hallelujah. Praise God. But see, now while you're in this flesh and with this spirit, you can't battle him with those things. You've got to battle him from the inside, the Holy Ghost, with the Word of God. Many of y'all know for years I would go over to West Virginia and I'd visit my aunt. And they would have me preach in the church there. And it was a denomination. It was a Church of God denomination. Pardon me. Then my aunt passed away. And the Church of God come in to take the church over, put in their own person. But that wasn't good enough. I knew what was going to happen when my aunt passed away. I knew which direction it was going with the Church of God, because I had already had testimony of them doing it before. They were going to shut that church down. You know why? Because it was a little church. Not much revenue. You know how they are in the organizations. You know, you gather money in and you send a percentage of the money you gather in up to the headquarters. Well, if you're sending in a percentage, then if you ain't got much coming in, there ain't much percent going up there. So you become kind of insignificant. So they decided they were going to shut the church down. When I sat there in December of last year, when my aunt passed away, and I sat at the table with a man from the church there, and I sat, my cousin was at the table, and I said, then, the best thing you could do is break off from the Church of God and go independent. But that was something new and unheard of for them. So they went with the way of the Church of God. And sure enough, they closed it down. The church they had, the church they had raised money for and built themselves. Church of God didn't build that. Church of God didn't send money down there to build that church. Church of God didn't purchase that land that they were on. That land belonged to the man who owned the funeral home down the street. And he said, as long as you want to have a church, you can build it on this land. And his name stayed on the deed of the land, that owner of the funeral home, along with the name of my uncle and some other brothers of the church. But see, what had happened was my uncle passed away. These other brothers that were their names were on there, they passed away. So all that was left was the funeral owner's name on the deed. He was the only one living. So the Church of God comes in there and they claim the thing and shut it down. And say, we're going to use that. Now, we got a bigger church on over here. And now we're going to use this building for our youth. And y'all can go to the bigger church over here. They let them know, we don't want to go to the bigger church. This has always been, we moved, this group moved from when the coal mines bottom out in Blair, moved down to Danville and built a building. But that church had been a church for years. But they became insignificant. So the people, the few believers they had of that church, they got locked out of the church. The locks got changed. And so they couldn't go in the building no more. So you know what they did? They wrote headquarters. Do you know what happened to that? Nothing. They wouldn't even accept the letter. So they started meeting in the parking lot. And they started talking to that owner of the funeral home who owned the land. And somebody from the church, her husband, who didn't even go to church regular, hired a lawyer for them. And they said, they don't own that church. They can't, it wasn't right what they did. So the lawyer got them to get a locksmith and go down there and change the locks on that church and open it back up. But you know the only way they got to do that and keep that church was they had to go independent. That was a big step. When my aunt died, I thought, well, I'll probably never preach in that church again, because if they get somebody else in there from the Church of God, they ain't going to let me come in there and preach. But now they're independent. Of course, they said, well, we're still holding to the Church of God's beliefs and that. For now, who knows what the Lord's got? David said, then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord had done great things for them. The Lord had done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is my strength. He fills my heart with laughter. Hallelujah. Praise God. Use the word to find comfort. You got problems on the job? Use the word to find comfort. Say, well, it don't talk about my job in the Word. It don't got to talk about your job. You just got to talk about the one who has control over all those things. And that's God, not you. Some people have control issues. As long as they feel like they're in control, they feel secure. Friends, you're not the one in control. The Bible says the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Not by you, by the Lord. The footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Friends, you can quote that. When you don't know which direction to take, you don't know what to do, the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. The Lord knows what steps to take. The Lord knows what doors to open. You've just got to wait for them to open. Paul said through that the scriptures were wrote for our learning, that through patience, we can find comfort. Hallelujah. So you've got to be patient. But then once the door's open, then you got to step through with faith. I don't know if you realize just how much faith it took for me to come down here and pastor this church. You know, I had somebody say to me when I first came down here, they met me out there and they said, we have saw a lot of bad out of preachers. So we don't hardly trust preachers. I said, well, I've saw a lot of bad out of people. So I understand what you're saying, because I have a hard time trusting people. I've seen people that act like this man of God was just the best thing ever. And before it was over, they wanted to crucify him. Funny how things can change. Funny how fickle things can be. I had applied for different jobs up in Ohio before I came here. I had put in applications and applied for different jobs. And I had somebody that from the church, their son was working in a certain thing. I don't remember now. Was it for the power company? And And so they were putting in a word for me. Well, I had put in for a maintenance job also. And then I felt of the Lord to come down here. And I came down. And it was in the last weekend of September of 1998. And I came down and I preached. And then after the last service, the brothers went and had a meeting, and they said 100% they wanted me to come under a month trial basis as a pastor. And so I took up residence at Brother Phil's house. And I was there for the month of October. And during that time, calls came in for two jobs that I'd applied for in Ohio. Now, if I'd have leaned to reasoning, it would have seemed like that would have been a more sure thing. Because this was a trial. And now we didn't know how this was going to go. And even after that, we still didn't know how it was going to go. And you got to realize, like I said, I knew people could change. People could love you one minute and hate you the next. But I felt in my heart that God wanted me here. Now, those doors opened, but I didn't feel led to go through them doors. But the door opened here, and I felt led by faith to go through this door. Next weekend, well, it'll be the last Sunday in the month of October, but I believe the 1st of November is on Monday or Tuesday. And I'll have been here 24 years. So I stepped out by faith, and look where we are today. It wasn't because of anything I've done. I, like Brother Bram said, I was just there when he done it. Everything that's been accomplished here is what the Lord has done. We have just let the Lord use us. Hallelujah. Let's stand. My, I didn't know this service was going to go this long. I just now looked at the clock. Well, when you get into testifying, sometimes it goes on a bit. Amen. But we know where we can get our comfort at. We know who's our refuge. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you now, Lord, and we're asking you, Lord, as you have been with us, God, in this time of this service, Lord, to bring the word of God, to bring, Lord, reassurance, to bring, Father, Lord, preaching, Lord, is really telling us things that we already know. I haven't said anything new today, what people didn't already know. But sometimes, Lord, we need the curtain rolled back from time to time. Lord, like the song says, remind us where you brought us from and where we could have been. Lord, and show us where we are. Sometimes, Lord, we need the curtain pulled back on our lives. We need sometimes to take a look in the mirror and take tally of ourselves, Lord, and take inventory. Lord, sometimes we got more packed on us than what we need to have packed to go to heaven. Lord, sometimes we got weights, as the Bible says, that are easily besetting us in this race. Lord, I pray your blessings on the people today. May we take these words of encouragement, and may, Lord, we take them to live by. May we remember them in the times when we're in need of comfort. May we remember them, God, in the times, Lord, when we think about complaining. Lord, instead of talking to you about it, Lord Jesus, just a little talk with Jesus. That's what we need many times. Lord, sometimes we need a sweet hour of prayer. Lord, bless your people today. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the glory of God. Amen. Amen. God bless.